Welcome everyone to the JJ Productions 8809.blogspot.com podcast. Today we are doing a discussion on Avengers Age of Ultron with my co-host Jamie.
Hello everyone.
Alright, you'll find links and stuff to our websites in the description below if you're watching on YouTube, or on the post if you're watching it on my website. So, let's just talk about what we thought about the Avengers Age of Ultron non-spoiler thoughts. Jamie, you go first.
I thought it was really good. Overall, I really, really, really liked it. I haven't read any, like, all the negative reviews that apparently are going around, so I don't know all the problems that people have. But I was a little nervous. Like, I knew all those negative reviews were out there, so I was a little nervous going into the theater, because I was like, what is everybody having a problem with? But I honestly had maybe like two tiny problems with it, and that was all, because I really enjoyed it, and I thought it was quite a good sequel to follow the first Avengers, I thought.
Alright, I thought it was fantastic for the most part. If you read my review, you know what I thought of it, but I'll rephrase it again. It had a few minor issues that kept it from being flawless. Like, the first Avengers is, you say what you will about it, it's a tight plot, great characterization, everything works. And I think The Age of Ultron does certain things better, but certain things not as good. So, and ultimately, I would say the first Avengers is better. And maybe even Winter Soldier and Guardians. I don't know. I'm going to have to rewatch Age of Ultron again before making any of those decisions. But if you haven't seen it, you need to go watch it. Everyone should watch it. Just go, because next we'll be talking about full-on spoilers. This is just us talking about random things, because we haven't talked about it, the movie, to each other yet, and this is just what we usually do. So.
Yeah. I'm just sitting here and talk.
All right. Jamie, let's go spoilers.
Yay. Okay.
And something that I don't know if we said or not, we avoided all except for the very first teaser trailer.
First teaser trailer.
Why don't we go ahead and address it? A lot of people expected this to be a lot darker movie, Empire Strikes Back. Like, I had none of those expectations. I mean, it looked a little darker, but I did not watch the trailer. I avoided the trailer. Expectations can destroy things. I hated how much. And I didn't see a single image even from that final battle scene.
I glimpsed briefly the whole, like, Thor's like, is that the best you got? And then they sent more, and Cap was like, did you have to answer? Like, I saw a glimpse of that, and I'm like, I don't want to see it. So, there was a lot of, like, footage that was very new. Actually, it was really funny, but I was in the theater, you know, how at the movies they'll run, like, questions and stuff on the screen while you're waiting, and then they got to the part where they had the little, like, reporter, like, talking about, the new Avengers movie, and they show clips and stuff, and I was like, I said it quite loudly, too. I, like, held up my hand, and, like, I was like, I have spent months trying to avoid this footage. Don't show it to me now. And there was a group of people, like, a couple, like, young adults sitting behind us, and there was one guy who was, like, saying the same thing as me, and he leaned forward, and he's like, I am in the same boat as you. I'm like, I know, I have been trying so hard to, like, miss all this, and he's like, I know, right? So there, I had that, like, fan connection of somebody else who's just like, I don't want to see this footage outside of the movie, please. It was really funny.
Exactly.
So.
I avoided. The only thing that I knew was those stupid spoiler trolls.
That was terrible.
So, yeah, I can't believe it's crazy. I don't know how to ban people and stuff, but it's crazy. I stopped reading comments from people I didn't know for a time. But, of course, I did avoid all trailers. I saw thumbnails of the trailer. Mm-hmm. That's it. Like, scrolling down YouTube. That was as far as I got. And, of course, I knew the Vision was in the movie, because I kept up with, like, the posters they released and stuff a little bit. I knew almost nothing about this movie, and I had a better experience for it. I know some people had expectations, other people, they showed some of the action sequences, apparently, in the big in the trailers, which, like, everything was new to me.
Yeah, that's why you avoid Marvel trailers. I watch trailers for pretty much everything, but I've quickly learned that Marvel shows endings in their trailers. Because I was expecting a scene from Iron Man 3, the scene where Tony puts the necklace around Pepper's neck, and that's at the very, very, very end. And I saw that in the trailer. I was like, oh, that's so cute. I'm going to watch for it. And then we had the scare that it looked like Pepper died. I was like, well, either the necklace scene isn't in this, or this is, like, a fake cop-out. And so I literally did not have the same emotional impact as I would have had if I had seen the Iron Man 3 trailer. So it was like, after that, I didn't see the Dark World trailer. I didn't see the Winter Soldier trailer. I'm, like, not watching any trailers for Marvel, because that's a habit they do, which I don't appreciate.
I did watch the Guardians of the Galaxy trailers. That was so new.
Oh, yes. I saw Guardians
of the Galaxy. And I would argue to say that is the best trailer of all time.
That was a good trailer.
Just don't watch trailers unless you can't avoid it. I mean, if you know you're going to see the movie, why watch the trailer? That's the problem with trailers. Of course, The Amazing Spider-Man is the worst trailer of all time.
For the second movie or the first? Okay.
The first. The second to a degree, but the first one completely spoiled everything. But that's beside the point. Yeah, we don't watch trailers. We don't want to. I avoided opinions of this movie. I did not completely avoid. I got like half sentences before I stopped reading or stopped listening. I was like, then I kind of knew that people were not enthralled by this movie as much. And while I see that there are a few minor points, I don't see what makes it that much worse than any of the other films. Okay. It's got 77 on the tomato meter last time when we record this. And when you think about it, this is ridiculous. This is better than so many other action movies. This is
Character
still,
development is way better.
Though it might,
action sequences are way better. Gee.
Okay, there are a few rushed points here. And, you know, like, the Thor thing was not necessary. Ultron's creation is a tad rushed. But if you compare it to the cliche fest of most movies, summer movies in general,
it's way better.
It's so much better. And I would say, okay, even if you would say if you say it's the fourth best Marvel movie or even the fifth best, it's still better than most movies you will find.
And it was so fun. Like, how did you not go in and watch that and not have fun? I don't understand how anybody could walk away and be disappointed. Maybe a little disappointed. I was a tiny bit disappointed over my ship going down. But I still walked out. I was like, that was really good. Like, that was a great ride. They did such a good job carrying me through all of that in, like, 2.5 hours. It did not feel like 2.5 hours. It felt like an hour and a half, maybe, at most.
The pacing was so good. I heard some people say the pacing was slow. And, okay, I will admit, I don't get affected by slow pacing. Like, one of the movies I grew up watching was Lord of the Rings.
Those are long movies.
So, I love slower character development moments between the amazing action sequences. That works. I didn't see, okay, I wish there was more. It should have been, like, I believe him when they're saying there's a 3.5 hour cut out there. And I want to see that cut. Because I think if we saw that cut, it would be maybe even better than the first Avengers. Not the first Avengers, the first Avengers movie. And I think it had a very good possibility of being better if we saw the complete cut with even more character development, explanation, everything. And maybe, and I would love to know what that alternate ending is.
I'm actually very intrigued by that.
I just do not understand certain things. I mean, I can understand, like, Ultron's creation was too slow, fast, all that stuff. But it's very, very minor compared to most just movies.
I think people had expectations raised a little too high, possibly. Because Marvel does do a lot of hyping before their movies come out, and that can be dangerous.
Yeah, I will admit that this was my most hyped movie of all time, except for, like, say, episode 7. And I would say they were met, they just weren't exceeded like the first Avengers movie. The first Avengers movie blew me out of the water. This one was like, this was fantastic. It did. I would say Winter Soldier lived more than up to its hype for me, because I did not expect it to be as good as it was. Same for Guardians. That's the thing. Like, no one expected Winter Soldier and Guardians to be Marvel's best films.
Those were great movies.
Everyone expected that to be... Yeah. No one expected those to be the best. And they were. Everyone expected Age of Ultron to be the best, and it wasn't. But it's not far
off. I didn't even go into Age of Ultron like, this better be better than the original Avengers, or whatever. And I didn't even... And I didn't leave it thinking, well, that was kind of... That was less than the first Avengers. I got more of that movie. Like, those thoughts didn't even cross my mind while I was, like, leaving the theater. I was just like, that could have been way worse, and they handled so much so well. I am so relieved in many ways, because they care a lot about those characters.
I think so. I'm sure the biggest thing, though, is that everyone expected this to be darker. And I did not expect it, because, like I said, didn't watch the trailers.
I need to go and see what one of those trailers were, and see what kind of vibe I get from that, because, I'm not quite sure what other people were expecting, or why a lot of people were like, "Oh, that was bad." Or
the thing, like, expectations can ruin movies. If you go in expecting one thing, you get something else, and it's not. And if you don't, I don't know. Maybe the trailers did picture the movie as something different than the first Avengers movie. It was darker because Black Widow's backstory is pretty daggum dark. I mean, she had to kill people, and then she was sterilized, and man, that's pretty messed up stuff there. So, overall, fantastic movie. I want to see the extended cut, and I can't wait to see Civil War.
Is that next year? That's next year, right?
Yes, this time next year. Good.
So I'm now used to the whole, like, Iron Man, Thor, then Captain America, then the Avengers, but now it's going to be... Now we have the Avengers, and now it's Captain America, Civil War. So it's like, I'm like thrown a little bit out of my loop, but I'm glad it's like next, because I don't want to wait.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
My Clint and Natasha ship sank. That is like one of the two like problems I had. And... Like, I like her and Banner together actually quite a lot, but I have spent 2 years shipping Natasha and Hawkeye. So I was a little sad, like I grieved my ship sinking, like last night while I was watching. So that's like the big spoiler. So I'm just like, no, my little couple is gone.
Okay, I guess we're going to start off with the sinking ship of Nat Hawkeye. Okay, I heard rumors like 6 months before the movie was even released that we're going to have a Hulk, Black Widow one, and even Jacob called it. Jacob totally called it. I talked to him about the potential, and he said, oh, so you're going to have little Green Hulk babies running around soon. Something along those lines.
Really?
Yeah, he was joking about it.
I didn't see that coming at all.
Yeah, because I saw something about it. I think it'll be on the trailers, the YouTube channel. And they said potential for that. And it slightly hinted at in the first movie. Very slightly.
It did?
Very, I couldn't remember, very slightly.
I couldn't remember anything that was, like, promising or, like, hinting at all.
It's, like, incredibly small.
Like, half a second's worth.
She's afraid of him, but she's... kind of wants to understand him kind of thing, but that's it. And
it doesn't mean they're going to like get together later. Like, I thought there was a lot more for like her and Clint to possibly like get together, because they already had such a strong bond, which is what you want to build a relationship on. So I was like, yes, it could happen. See, but no.
What I liked about it, though, is that for one, it makes sense. All of her people she knows are warriors. They fight, and she has never known anyone personally other than he's not a warrior, he's just a guy. He's like a nerdy, awkward scientist, and I really like, I think they could have done it better to a degree. Like, the execution of their romance.
It was a little fast, like the idea.
Oh yeah, speaking of fast, the movie was originally over 3 hours long.
Over 3 hours?
According to Josh Whedon, his original cut was over 3 hours long. The original Avengers was at least 20 minutes longer. And we better, if they put, oh, it also had an alternate ending. And we're going to see all those deleted scenes. And please, ooh, Disney, Marvel, get us. I want to see that deleted scenes all added together in the original cut. Do all the special effects and put it on Blu-ray. I will buy that stuff. I don't care if it's $50. I would buy a 3.5 hour version of Age of Ultron because it would probably fix every problem I've had. It'll be like the Lord of the Rings. It'll be like the Hobbit. It's like a movie that had some flaws, although Age of Ultron is definitely better than any of the Hobbit movies, unquestionably.
Yeah.
And it'll fix a movie that's amazing and make it maybe even as good or better than the first Avengers if they fix those small problems. And I really think that maybe there's more to the romance thing. I like them as a couple. It's a good idea.
Yeah.
I am definitely all for it. And I like how that she's calming him down. Mm-hmm. I know some people have issues because it's nothing like that in the comics. But Coulson was in the comics, Josh Loki was nothing like he is in the comics originally. So as much as I love the comics, I think this Marvel Cinematic Universe is making an alternate universe, just like the Ultimate Universe, where they can do things that are different, but they're still fully following the spirit of the comics. So Josh Whedon knows his stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like it. I think the CGI for the Hulk could have been slightly better for them interacting. I don't know if it's just because it's just not possible with our current technology.
Yeah. There were a couple moments where I was like, oh, he doesn't look quite real enough. I don't know, there wasn't a moment in the first Avengers where I was like, oh, it's the Hulk, and he's made out of CGI. I was just, the Hulk! Like, because he looks so good. But he didn't quite have that, like, and it didn't really hurt the film for me, because obviously, like, Ultron is CGI too, so, but it was, like, a tad more noticeable. So
the difference between this and the first Avengers is that him battling Thor was the only scene where he had contact with, like, a human person up close, and that was only a brief thing with his arm. For the most part, it was him versus other CGI things. Direct contact. And that's it. Other than that, I just don't think it's possible. Or at least not within a decent time frame of a film. But other than that, I think that was the only CGI hiccup. That and the opening scene with the little tattoo CGI.
What was the opening scene?
Them attacking the base.
Oh,
a lot of people had trouble with that. I think, like, even Captain America's scenes should have used more stuntman instead of CGI, maybe. But other than that, special effects just blew me away, because I just believe...
Overall, it was really good.
Yeah, I'm going to skip right to, like, the big Hulkbuster Hulk scene. I never thought for a second that these are just two big CG. This is all completely CGI. It's like watching an animated movie. I didn't think about that for a second. I saw the Hulk, and I saw Iron Man and Hulkbuster, and they were just duking it out. And the scene where he takes him through the building. He's like, buy that building. I loved it because it made sense. Like, oh, make sure he's not going to kill people. Necessarily, people are going to die, but he's making minimal casualties by putting it through a building with no people in it, and he buys the building so he can just wreck it, which is kind of funny, because he's Iron Man. He has money.
He's bleeding money.
Yeah. And it's just a great action sequence. And I know some people said that we've seen Hulk fight Iron Man, but we haven't. Hulk has only fought Thor.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've heard a lot of people say the two movies are, like, similar. But I literally walked out of there thinking that was a lot different than the first. movie. Like, maybe boiled down to, like, bare bones. It's kind of, like, the same story, but there are so many different elements that I really didn't think. I was like, oh, this is just like a remake of the first Avengers. I feel so cheated out of my money. It didn't feel like that at all. Okay. It felt like a completely different story to me.
I did think it was similar, like, in the sense you that there's too? A city, and there's a bunch of minions, and you gotta fight the minions. And that part was similar. The old overall thing is different, and technically Loki's staff is what started both things. Technically, but that was different. It's just the end battle sequence was similar, and it's also you can't relive the Avengers on screen for the first time together. That only happens once.
Sure.
And you can't.
I thought they got pretty close though when they were surrounding whatever that was in that one building, and all those little minions were running at them. And I was thinking, okay, we need like one of those like circular scenes where it just kind of like captures everybody, kind of what we got in the first movie. And, like, right after I thought that they did that, and I was like, this is so flippin' awesome. I was so excited during that scene.
I loved how they used like the perspective cameras, like right up in their face, and it was moving around with them. That's so. You could tell
that was personal.
Yeah, it showed like the heroes up close and personal battling, and it worked excellently. Although, okay, one thing I'd say in the next Avengers movie, I do not want to see minions again. I want to see something other than minions for them to fight, and they have to figure it out. I have no idea what they could do, unless it's just Thanos wrecking stuff. Because I mean, what are Black Widow and Hawkeye going to do against Thanos?
Yeah.
Thanos is like all
powerful. They're gonna need like super suits or something too.
But they'll basically be Iron Man, and Iron Man.
Hawkeye needs some wings so he can like fly around.
Like Falcon.
As his name is Hawk, he needs like a hawk like flying suit.
They could do it like the comics and give him a flying motorcycle type thing. It's kinda like what Loki rode around in when he like shot him with an arrow and he caught it. Okay. Something similar to that in design. Used in the comics, I'm fairly certain.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, they need something, but I love. Oh, okay. One big thing that makes Avengers different than pretty much any other superheroes, they don't just complain about having to kill people. They're warriors. They're fighting a war. I mean, like. You know, Bruce doesn't want to kill people, which I love that thing. He's like, you can hear the screams of pain from the depths of hell. But Thor's like, no, I mean, you can hear something. He's like, the strained deltoids, and there's hurt ankles. And see, even they're killing people, they're killing soldiers, and they have to. I mean, they're like, of course, Captain America, he's the most morally, most morally upright character ever. And, you know, he's a soldier. Yeah. That's what you have to do in war. And that's what they do here. They don't make a big deal out of it. I mean, Thor is a warrior in Asgard. Iron Man isn't necessarily a warrior, but he's been killing guys since the terrorists.
Yeah.
So, and Hulk just. And, of course, Black Widow and Hawkeye are soldiers. And Hulk just wrecks stuff all the time anyway. So, yeah, that was one big difference.
What I really liked from this, from Age of Ultron, was how much focus they put on the end of rescuing civilians. Like, I don't think I've seen, except for maybe the first Avengers, I don't think I've seen like so much focus on, okay, we need to save these innocent people. They have nothing to do with this. Like, we need to get them and their kids like out of here. Like, I haven't seen that in a superhero movie like that strongly. And I really like that, because I didn't like that was a problem I had in Man of Steel, where there was so much destruction and it just seemed like there wasn't very much like consequences to all that, like all those buildings crumbling. It's like, aren't those full of, like, people that are, like, dying, and we're supposed to just, like, enjoy the Steve Jackson, like, action sequence? We're here in Age of Ultron. They spent, quite a bit of focus, like, first we go to try to get everybody out. That didn't work. Still, like, the city still went up. Then their Cap's like, I'm not leaving till everybody's off of this thing. And then, of course, then Nick Fury showed up, and they were still able to get everybody off. So I really, really appreciated that about that movie, because I really liked that.
Also, for the people like the Man of Steel lovers here, okay, here's the thing. People aren't just saying that Superman, you know, everyone's saying he's a rookie Superman, so how's he going to keep from killing so many people? But here's the difference. We did not once see the aftermath, the effect. Like, the first Avengers, they had, like, memorials to the people who died. It was like a real disaster, and they showed, like, the people who cheered the Avengers on, but also the people who died during the attack. There were consequences. People died from what happened.
In Age of Ultron, we saw all the devastated people of Hulk just kind of like smashing that one village that he ended up in the middle of the movie. And there were so many terrified people. He just felt terrible. And he could tell at the end he felt really bad, too. And I really like that, like, about the Marvel movies.
Oh, I do wish that they said the number of casualties. They said, like,
that would be interesting.
That would have been interesting, like, so many hundred people died. They did show people dying. I mean, they didn't show direct someone's getting squished, but you saw a car landing on someone and they obviously died. And yeah, those were the consequences of what happens, which is going to play a huge part in Captain America Civil War, which I think is going to be better in Age of Ultron.
I'm excited for Civil War. I can't wait to see what happens next, especially because we saw Tony and Steve. They kind of walked away, and they were just kind of patting each other on the back. They were like, they were friends, and they were just like talking. And Natasha's like, "I thought you were like still gazing to each other's eyes, like they're still friends." So it's gonna be really interesting to see like what happens to like break that.
We're gonna have to get back to Civil War at the end of this, but I was surprised that this did not tie into it more. And I'm hoping that doesn't mean Civil War is gonna be too rushed. But yeah. I'm gonna have to get back to that. So why don't we just talk about... Okay, wait, I gotta talk about the opening scene. The first word said in the movie. I'm not gonna say it because this is a PG podcast, but you know what it is. It's language. Are we gonna ignore the fact that Cap just said language?
That was good. And then they dragged that throughout the whole movie, and it was really funny.
That was hilarious. That's Captain. That's what Captain America would be like. I mean, I love it how...
Although he was like, "I'm sorry, it just slipped out." He didn't even mean to. He was just kind of like, "Dang it, like, language."
That's so Captain America. He has very strict moral code, and that's what makes...
Although he doesn't come off as strict though, either, which is a nice thing.
Yeah,
it's like, he has a strict moral code, but he's not, like, running around trying to make sure everybody is, like, following it. It's just, like, for him.
Yeah, exactly.
And he likes to see it when his friends, like, can do it when they're around him, too, which is really nice.
Right, which is, like, Winter Soldier, it was a focal point because his morals about what freedom should be is the main thematic element that drove the film. Captain America is an unchanging character in a world that has changed. Is a world so unfamiliar to him. And that's why the drama in it works. And I love the recurring joke at the very end when he says, "Nick Fury, you son of a..." He's like, "Language."
I liked when Tony was like, "Gosh darn it." He's purposely censoring himself. That was really funny.
That was funny.
That whole movie was pretty funny. It was serious and there was a lot of dark stuff, but it had a lot of good laughs.
Yeah, I loved the comedy was great. Okay, one of my favorite scenes. Thor is fighting Ultron. He's like, "Oh, I have life in my chest. I am running out of things to say. Hit him." And then Vision just hits him.
The Vision.
Okay, we gotta get this podcast back on track. We're fan, we're fanboying and girling all over this movie.
Hold on. I have to say my favorite funny part now. When Quicksilver takes Scarlet Witch and runs off, and it's just like he kind of like pretends like he's gonna shoot him. He's like, "No one would know." I just say, "Oh, the last time I saw them, Ultron was sitting on him." I laugh so hard. That's probably my favorite part of the whole movie.
Yes, it was like, I could do it. Like, here's what, you know, say, keep up, old man. It's like, no one would know. No one would know. Last time I saw Ultra was sitting on him. He was dearly missed. I miss him already. And then it made the whole
set. That was my favorite scene.
Okay. We already talked about Captain America. He was the same Captain America that he needed to be. Just like in the first Avengers had the whole thing. There's only one God, man. And I'm sure he doesn't dress like that. This one had the language joke. And that's perfectly encapsulated Captain America's character. Just those, that one phrase. One word, almost. Because he just... And that's who Captain America is. And I loved how he is the definitive leader of the team. He's in the front of the posters. He is the new face of Marvel now that RDJ is... You know, he's in these movies, but he's not the star anymore since his movie series is over.
Mm-hmm. He seemed to be more comfortable as the leader of the Avengers in this movie. Like, he's accepted, like, I'm the boss, kind of. That was cool, because he seemed used to just kind of leading the charge.
Yeah. He told everyone what they needed to do, and they listened. They're like a crack military group there, almost. And like he's trying to manage the team, trying to make everyone work together, trying to keep everyone on board. It was working so well. I loved it. This character is the same character that we saw. See, Whedon made the character work in Avengers. Like, the one in First Avenger was similar, his first film.
Yeah.
But then the Avengers, Whedon made him work in a modern-day setting, and then the Russo brothers jumped off with that in the Winter Soldier, and we kept it going in Age of Ultron. So, and him using his shield is still freaking awesome in action sequences.
Mm-hmm. Didn't he have like a... It looked like he had almost like... Was it like magnetic?
Yes, magnetic.
Where it was just like zing, and it just came out, and it was like, that is such a good idea. Yes. Like that was so cool.
Recall device of some kind.
Yeah, because it's not a boomerang. It's not going to come back to him every time. So, I really like that.
Yeah. Oh, also, one of my favorite lines was when Maria Hill said, "I'll set up boss," and Tony said, "Actually, he's the boss," pointing to Captain America. "I just pay for everything, design everything. Make everyone look good. Yeah. So, yeah, Captain America, fantastic. Tony Stark, just one of my favorite scenes, is like, "Okay, please have a secret. Please have a secret." Yay.
Yes. Yes. That was good.
I'm glad that he was not the star of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't the main part. Just the first Avengers, he had the most screen time, the most lines, the most... He was the face, because at that time, he was the only majorly successful character.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the most... and he has slightly less screen time than Captain America in this one. But he didn't seem like he dominated the movie. But he was there, and he elevated everyone else, because he's Tony Stark. And liked how Scarlet Witch gave him that vision. That set off.
He did a lot of, like, he carried out a lot of big moments in the film. First with getting like Ultron kind of into existence, and then kind of like kickstarting Vision coming into existence. I've read a couple things that people thought he seemed a little out of character, because he was just kind of, he seemed driven by fear throughout a lot of the movie. But he doesn't have such a big like moral compass as Captain America, and when somebody has that, they can be a lot more stable. So I didn't think he was necessarily out of character in the film. He was just, he got shaken up there at the beginning, and I thought that was a reasonable response.
Well, see,
from him, just to kind of be like, we need this there at the beginning.
Like in Iron Man 3, he never even necessarily overcame his problems, the PTSD from the Avengers.
Yeah, we didn't see that resolved, did we?
So the whole fear of him, they showed the all the dead Avengers in his dream, and the big hole was like, you have to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So that combined with its original fear from the previous movie launched him on, he needs to create something And then I also watched the distrust between him and Captain America. They're kind of like buds at the end. I can see the seeds of the Civil War.
So I didn't think he was really out of character. I think we wanted, I think some people wanted to see him more like heroic, and but that's not really who Tony Stark is. He's always going to be kind of, not raunchy, but he's just kind of like that more crass member. He's just always going to be that way, even if he has some nobility and he is a hero and stuff, but I don't, he's not going to become Captain America. We can't really expect that from him. And like his fear and stuff adds a good dynamic to have all the other characters like react to. We get to see who they are in response to like how he's acting. So I didn't really have a problem with that.
I thought
Tony was pretty cool.
One thing. Okay, Iron Man 3 blew up all of his suits and he gave up being Iron Man.
Yes, I was wondering that while watching the movies. Like, where did all these suits come from? They all, like, fell into the ocean, and he blew up the others. So I was like, did he go back and...
Well, obviously, he made it, because, like, the one he's wearing... Well, he only had two suits, plus the Iron Legion.
So did he make more?
Well, obviously, he made the one he's wearing. The one he wears later, after he gets destroyed some, and the Hulkbuster. Those are the only three suits we see.
What about that... that satellite that was up in the air.
That's the Hulkbuster. Veronica. Veronica was awesome.
Was that already up there? And he didn't, like, destroy that in Iron Man 3?
I'm thinking he made it... Make that I'm pretty sure he made there. It in between. It was like a Hulk deterrent. He made it...
Okay.
See, that was the thing.
That was one thing I noticed.
Yeah. Too. I'd like to know what happened, what made him want to become Iron Man. He doesn't have the metal in his chest anymore. He doesn't have the reactor in his chest.
Right.
So, what made him come back? And I'm thinking that's probably in the extended cut.
Yeah.
Is that a big issue since we knew from the just from the posters that he's Iron Man again? So.
Mm-hmm.
And.
I just thought it was interesting that they kind of that was like the big ending for Iron Man 3, and so it kind of seemed like that was undone a tiny bit. See, in the movie by suddenly having all these suits.
See, the problem with Iron Man 3 is that at the time we assumed that they assumed while making it this was RDJ's last one. He had no more he's not contractually obligated. So the movie kind of had to be an end-all, be-all, self-contained kind of thing.
That's true.
But,
so they could have given a couple answers.
Yeah, they could have. There's like one line of dialogue.
He could have had one line saying, like, remembering when he last made it or something annoying had happened when he was recreating, blah, blah, blah. Like, one line they could have put in to, like, cover that.
Yeah, it's like, we needed, some reason. Oh, okay, so, next character is Thor, also known as the one that got the least amount of screen time in the entire movie.
Yeah, I kind of felt like I didn't get to see Thor very much, which I was a little mad about.
I do.
Because I like Thor.
I do have to say, though, he is the least interesting Avenger now.
He kind of is.
I mean, like, Hawkeye had that.
Which is
Hawkeye
a shame.
Doesn't really count, but he was even more interested in this movie. But, yeah, of the, like, even the main three, he went from number two in the first Avengers, because... and now, The Dark World was okay, was good, but it wasn't amazing compared to for a Marvel movie. Well, on the other hand, Winter Soldier was one of the best movies I have ever seen. And it just propelled the character. Thor is just kind of... He's there. And he is best when he's just partying. Like, the party scene was hilarious. like, his dialogue and him doing the war stories. And, Stanley cameo. Mm-hmm. Maybe the best ever.
That was really good. Yes, I got so excited when I saw Stanley.
That was so funny. He's like, Excelsior, Excelsior is his famous phrase. That's what he was saying when he was wasted from whatever special super alcohol they were drinking.
That, like, sat for 1,000 years or whatever. Yeah. wish I'd seen a little bit more of Thor. I need to rewatch the film because I wasn't quite sure what he was doing when he went in that cave. And then there was a ton of lightning and he was in the water. I'm not quite sure what happened.
Yeah, they didn't explain it, but okay, we know that the next film is Ragnarok. It's Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, yes.
Ragnarok in Norse mythology is the apocalypse. In the comics, basically, Asgard is destroyed and then is reborn. Or they could just straight up destroy it and destroy all the nine, destroy the entire realm of Asgard and kill everyone. Mm. That would be interesting. Like, Loki could bring about Ragnarok. And I'm thinking that I was, like, foreshadowing it, and which is why it didn't fit. I mean, we had the whole thing, like, oh, he went to go see Eric Selvig, and went to this cave, and he saw visions and stuff, and I think that could have been more explained if the extended cut. It was the one thing that bothered me the most, because it did not need to be there the most of anything. Yeah.
I wasn't quite sure what was happening at that point. I wasn't really bothered by it, but I was just like, wait, how does that tie in? And then I got distracted by other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I watched it. I understood what it was there for. The one thing, it did contribute to the narrative more than some people give it credit, because it gave him the vision about the Mind Stone, which is why he was willing to trust the Vision, hence his name, and we'll get the Vision later. Yeah, so Thor was kind of like a non-factor, but when he was in the party and just dynamic with the team, like when he stepped on the Legos and he kind of burst it over, that was perfect. And yeah, it just all worked really well as far as his off the, you know, when his subplot wasn't there, him just being a character, and in the action sequences he was cool. I think he was also the least used.
He didn't seem underused,
and
he's already an unappreciated character. I think a lot of people kind of forget Thor, which is really sad. But
the thing is, when the first Avengers came out, he was the thing after Iron Man, and now he's lower than Black Widow, I think. So if you like a Avengers popularity post, it'd be Iron Man, Captain America, Hulk, Black Widow, Thor. I'm telling you, that's probably what it would be. Yeah,
probably.
He was fine. I'm looking forward to the Ragnarok. I hope they get a good director that understands the material better. And Loki's the main villain, so I hope he's the amazing main villain that he was in the previous films, because Mr. the guy who tried to steal the ether wasn't that great. See, I don't even remember his name. Okay, next is the Hulk, Bruce Banner. He didn't make nearly as much of an impact this time, and I liked him a lot in this movie. I just didn't think he was quite as good as he could have been. He wasn't quite the Hulk that I wanted him to be, I guess the way to say it. There wasn't enough of him, I guess. I don't know exactly what the problem was. I liked his relationship with Black Widow.
In a way, he seemed less stable than he was in the first Avengers. And I don't know, like, why. Because in the first Avengers, he was just like, don't want to make me angry. And just kind of, he was kind of like there. And then he just kind of casually transformed and then fought. And he seemed to be in control. Where here, he seemed way more, like, scared of himself. Like, for whatever reason, and he seemed a little less control of himself when he was the Hulk. Which I didn't understand, like, why that was, because he seemed fine last time we saw him. So I think that's why he felt a little off.
Someone had a problem with the Hulk in the first Avengers. See, there's this one line of dialogue with Tony saying something about letting go and just enjoying it. And that's what he did in the first Avengers. And the second thing is, the Hulk is not just always a brute. I mean, when he gets angry, he can just be completely unable to control. But the Hulk in the comics had, like, the intelligence of a 3-year-old. I mean, you could reason with him, to a degree. He wasn't dumb. He even had a sense of humor sometimes. And that's the Hulk we see in the Avengers at the end. He's the one that you can tell him to do something, and he'll do it if he wants to do it. That's, people don't get that. They think he just destroys things. No, I mean, there's probably 6 different Hulks in the comics. But there's 3 main ones. The Rage Hulk, which is just, he just destroys everything. Second one is like the semi-intelligent Hulk, where he turns into the Hulk and you can sometimes reason with him. And then there's the fully Banner-controlled Hulk. There's no rage, it's just Banner in the body of Hulk, which you don't see in any of the movies because that would kind of take away the charm of the Hulk. So, yeah. And in this movie, we had, like, the one from the Avengers, but when he gets too rage, he gets raged too much, like, he gets too angry, he does start to lose more control. It would just become a force, and then Black Widow calms him down. But like you said, Ruffalo didn't seem like he allowed the character to have fun in the role, because he doesn't what he quips, like, the opening scene, he did, like, like, what if I say no, and then scares her? And he's like, they laughed it off. It's completely scaring Black Widow, because he was more in control. Tony was messing around by poking him and stuff in the first Avengers. And this one just seems so much more timid. I do like his timid attitude when it comes to the romance of Black Widow. Because doesn't want to feel anything. Although, I don't know what happened to Betty. Betty Roth. I guess he's just like, just forget her. Who needs her? That movie doesn't really count anyway. No one likes it. Liv Tyler.
It's not canon for me anymore. So.
Yeah.
But that's true.
But that's interesting. One thing, though, is that the general from The Incredible Hulk, he's coming back in Civil War. The same actor and everything. Wait, the general guy, I'm General Ross. Betty Ross's father is going to be in Civil War.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but I guess, traded up. He traded up from Liv Tyler to Scarlett Johansson. So, there you go. Hulk. I didn't mind what they did. It was slightly rushed. I did like the scene where Hulk saved her, and where he saved her, and then she's like, we need the green guy, so he just pushes her off. And the thing is, the Hulk trusts, like I said, he's not just rage, so he trusts Natasha.
There's gotta be a tiny bit of Banner in there somewhere.
One other thing is that, like, Hulk knows that Banner exists, and he doesn't like him. Hulk and Banner don't get along necessarily. And that's why he said, like, don't mention Banner when Hulk was fighting Iron Man and shoving his face in with a hilarious impact hammer thing from his Hulk Buster. Like, I'm sorry. So, yeah, that was, I don't know, he just didn't make nearly as much of an impact this time.
I liked the Hulk. Like, I like seeing Bruce and I like seeing the Hulk again. He didn't seem like the same Hulk. So it was a little odd.
Yeah, it was similar enough not to be like, this destroys the movie.
Yeah, it wasn't like they recast him, which would have been terrible,
third time.
Because Mark Ruffalo's really good as Bruce Banner. I really like him. So, like, that would have been, like, terrible. It just, the character just felt, like, a little off for whatever reason.
Okay, one other thing about Hulk is that we can't get a single Hulk movie because Universal still owns distribution rights to Hulk. That's why we can never get one, at least not for a while.
No, I didn't know that was why.
Yeah, that was recently revealed. So Disney does not own them. Universal does.
Oh, wow.
Not sure when that runs out. And, oh yeah, we forgot to mention one thing about Captain America. We gotta talk about his dream. He gets that dance with Peggy. Now, I love the imagery because he was there. Some guy had wine spilled on him. And at first it made you like, wait, he's bleeding. So it was kind of like a double imagery there. But if you watch Agent Carter, that scene is so much more impactful.
I've not seen any of Agent Carter.
Yeah, because it was like, okay, here's the thing. If you watch Agent Carter, you know how much she wanted to see him. You had all that, and you always knew how much Cat wanted to see her. So it's like, if you watch both, like, you see her again, it's like, wow, you finally get to see her again after watching Agent Carter, and then Cap, it's also, the, you know, so it was a, you wanted to see both characters. Like, if you just watched the movies, you kind of just wanted to see it for Cap, wouldn't you say? I mean, you're more invested in Cap than Peggy, right?
Yeah. I mean, I really like Peggy from Captain America the First Avenger, like, because I really, really like them together, so I was, like, devastated when they didn't end up together. And then the Winter Soldier, when they re-saw each other, I was like, oh my gosh! Because, you know, they got to hold hands and stuff, and he apologized for being late, and I was like, oh! So, but yeah, I'm not as invested with Peggy as I could be if I'd seen Agent Carter, which I just have never gotten, I have not gotten around to it because you made me watch anime.
Everything's my fault.
So that's your fault, yeah. That's why I fell behind with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Alright, next we're going to move on to Natasha, Black Widow. We already talked about the romance, which was a big part of her character.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, okay, her dream sequence thing induced by Black Widow, that was, by Scarlet Witch, that was the biggest, that was really dark and interesting. I love the Black Widow program, which something else was revealed in Agent Carter. Agent Carter showed the foundation, the creation of the Black Widow program.
Mm.
So, and this showed what happened to her, and I can't, and I'm surprised by how dark they went. I mean, she is sterilized, which is why their relationship kind of works.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a direction that you usually see in like a dark spy drama or something. And it's a great idea. It makes sense. They don't, mm-hmm. Nothing's more important than the mission.
Yeah.
And everything that she went through in that Black Widow program was so well condensed just into those scenes, flashbacks.
It was really good. Yeah. Those scenes were well directed.
I think everyone is agreed that we should have a Black Widow movie by now.
Yes.
Although I don't know what she would be if she wasn't with the Avengers unless we're doing like a flashback one, but I don't like prequels. The idea of prequels is not a good idea.
I want a prequel where we see Clint, like, rescue her, or wherever.
Budapest.
She's always like, I owe him the big thing, yeah. And so I want to see that, because then it would kind of be like, we'd have a movie for Clint, too.
Yeah.
Because I really like him, and he doesn't have a movie either, so they need, like, a movie.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I like to know what happened in Budapest.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I never was, like, too on board with, like, a romantic relationship between her and Hawkeye, because, for one, I mean, I know this hasn't stopped movie people in general, but the actor's 15 years older than, Renner is 15 years older than Scarlett Johansson. And I never saw much romantic chemistry. I saw more like a camaraderie, and which I like that they could.
Oh, yeah.
Because she was
That's what was definitely there.
So, yeah. Do you have anything else to say about Black Widow before we move on? I think she was great, especially, she's always great under Joss Whedon. I think the romance kind of took her back a notch, like less focus on her and more focus on the relationship.
I really liked seeing her again. I read, one of my friends said that she saw that a lot of people were saying that she was made weak in this movie, and my friend Mary Beth said that a healthy vulnerability is not making a character weak, that's just, it's making them more dimensional, which I would say that's what that movie did. Yes. I don't think the movie and her having, like, romantic interests made her weak at all. That was just another, like, fold of her character and her personality. She was wanting to connect with somebody, and so she just kind of, like, took a jump for it. Which I thought, I was like, well, good for her if she wants to, she's going to try. I don't think that made her weak at all.
Okay, I have to address something about her character. Like, you were saying, the romance thing was because she's never had a relationship with anyone in that way, a meaningful one, it would seem. The second thing I liked, okay, one thing is, some people are going to say she was a damsel in distress, because she was saved by Banner, she was captured by Ultron for a time. She's the reason why they knew where Ultron was, but I'm sure some people are going to say, why does she have to be rescued? And my retort to that is, I think we're beyond the point of saying that she's a female character in a movie. I think all the characters are equal. It doesn't matter who gets captured or anything. Yeah. I think we're beyond that trope. She's a character who's equal with all the rest of the characters. And there's no damsel in distress. I mean, it could have been Hawkeye getting captured. Hawkeye was the one that got the shaft and Last Avengers and stuff, so he had to basically be saved. So yeah, I don't think it matters who they are, the gender. I know some people are going to be like, well, yeah, like I said, they made her weak. But no, they made her human. Mm-hmm. There's a difference.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think she was good in this movie. And one last thing, her personality difference, because she lives by changing her personality. And that's why she's different. In the first Avenger, she was afraid, because this is, you know, the whole monsters and magic and nothing weird ever.
Well, we met her in Iron Man 2, and she was very sultry and very just, like, mysterious and a great fighter, but we didn't, I don't know, that was
Iron
all.
Iron Man 2 doesn't,
like,
count.
A personality.
Because she...
I count it!
You know, the movie was fine, but her portrayal was, she just stoic, she kicked butt, and that was kind of it. I mean, she was fine, but it was really in Avengers where she became a character instead of someone in black who kicks butt. Yeah. And yeah, she was
on a mission in Iron Man 2. Yeah. Like, very mission-focused.
And in Winter Soldier, she was more sarcastic, because this is the thing she is trained for. She's trained for espionage, so she could be more playful, and, you know, she wasn't afraid of anything. She'd been there, done that. And then the Avengers, she is used to working with the team, so she is herself around. She can be herself around better. Thank you, everyone, for watching. Check out my website, jjproductions89.blogspot.com, for the latest movie reviews and news. And Jamie, what about your website?
I'm at two blogs. I'm at twoblueeyes.wordpress.com. That's where I talk about everything but anime. And where I talk about anime is jamietalksanime.wordpress.com.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening. Goodbye.